Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Well, good morning. Good to see each of you here. Glad that we can join together. Thanks, Andy, for and team leading us in worship before the throne. Excited to worship with you, excited to open up the Word together. As Andy shared, we're in a series called Relationships, Loving from Fullness, Not from Need. Excited to continue that this week and then next week. And then we're going to jump into the next series as we think about, again, our overarching series of the whole year, Satisfied in God. And we get that from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And so that's our theme for the year. We'll walk through a couple of series, and then we'll have Easter. And then after Easter, we're going to jump in the book of Ecclesiastes and look and see what does that all mean, and kind of look at the summary there. Excited to be with you today. As Andy shared, we had a great time this weekend with our leadership as we just got away and had Craig and Ann Peters. Craig leads Equip Ministries International, and I have had the privilege of traveling to Guatemala with him a couple times to train pastors, and it was just a great time, enriching time, encouraging time to be with him and Ann on Friday, and then our leadership group on Saturday as we walk through different things. Just want to let you know we've been praying for you, and we're glad that you're here today. And you're here, we believe, because God brought you here today, and we want you to be encouraged. We also want you to be encouraged by God's word. And as we jump into it in just a moment, just want you to know that you're not here by mistake. You made a decision to come here, and I believe that you're here because God wants you to hear something today. We had a great time last Sunday with our Super Bowl, the chili cook-off. Just a great time of fellowship. I just want to acknowledge because I think there were 17 chilies that we had. And if you don't like chili, you missed out. Sorry. If you didn't come, you missed out. Sorry. But there was a lot of good chili. And the Meninga family took home the prize. Dylan carried it in and carried it out, what was left. And then Dina and Ben did everything else. Charity was second. And Haley Yost got third. You know, we never announced the winners. And I'm like, I'm going to announce them this week. This year. They deserve that. Hard work. You'll have to ask me about my experiment, what I did. I don't think too many of you know what I did, but I found Wendy's chili at Sam's Club, and I just took six things and put it in just to see if I'd win. I'm not lying. I didn't win, but that's okay. We talked a little bit about the, Pastor David mentioned our new members class. Lisa and I were talking, maybe we'll meet at Bob Evans or Wally Waffle if we can't decide which room to meet in. No, seriously, if you are interested in just knowing more about the ministry in West Hill here, we encourage you that you would sign up for that. Just one other note before we jump into the word. A special dear saint of ours, longtime member, Margie Briggs. Margie Briggs just used to sit back in that back corner. She's legally blind as long as I've known her for, 25, 26 years that I've known Margie. She's been legally blind. She actually lives on her own in her own condo, her own apartment. She will be turning 105 on March 25th. That's right. You're like, woo. So we need your help. Okay, on March 25th, she turns 105. What we'd like to do is we'd like for you to bring in cards for her. And she has people around her. You're like, well, she can't read them. She has people around her that will be able to read them, okay? Yeah, I know how some of you think, and so I just want to cut that off right there. There are people there that can help her and who will help encourage her as she listens and as she sees those. We would love to walk in on March 25th with just a bundle of cards, and like she loves her plants too. She still gets down and scrubs her floors, her tile floors, at 104. Again, just a marvelous, wonderful woman who loves Jesus. But we want to encourage her, and so you say, "Well, I don't know Margie. How many 105-year-olds have you met?" Like, there's probably not very many, right, if any. So even if you don't know Margie, that's okay. Write her a card and just a little simple note and bring those in and see Jim and Debbie Smoot. Jim, Debbie's back there just waving her hand. So you can see Debbie and her husband, Jim. Jim's back over there. There he is. And you can give him cards. You can give him give them all that you want and all that you need. Yeah, Mike. No, we're not waiting till then. We need you to bring them in now, okay? As you start bringing them in, we'll have a basket and stuff, but today's where we want to try to start getting the word out to you, and then we want to be able to bring them into her on her birthday. So that's a good point. We need them before March 25th, so do that soon, and that will be a big help and encouragement as we really want to encourage her. Just, we need all of you joining in, all right? So there's no excuse, I don't know her, or I don't know what to say. Buy a nice card, write something in it. It's not hard, okay? For those of you who messed up yesterday, here's your chance of redemption, 105-year-old, okay? With that being said, we better pray, right? Let's pray, and before we jump in the Word and look at what it means to be content with people. Lord, what a joy it is to join together and to worship, to enjoy our fellowship, and Lord, to be together today. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We've sung about the unity that we can have and that we desire to have in Christ as the church, as the body. And Lord, we know that that all begins with the head of the body, and that is Jesus Christ. It all happens. We come together because of what Christ has done for us. And we are so grateful that Christ died on the cross and took our sin to take the penalty that we deserve. And he hung there and ultimately died and sacrificed himself for us. And Lord, he was buried. We believe he rose again 3 days later, conquering sin, conquering death, so that we can experience the fullness of life. Not just life here on this earth, but life eternally as well. And Lord, we come today asking that same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of the living God, lives inside of us as children of yours. Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would communicate to us through your word, and Lord, that you would reveal your truth, and Lord, it would cause us to examine our hearts, examine our lives, to confess our sin, to repent and turn from it, and Lord, to look to you to live lives of obedience that pleases you, that brings you honor and glory, Lord, as living sacrifices, but also, Lord, so that the world may see and know that there truly is a Savior, that they would see the peace, the hope, the joy, the unity that you provide us, and that they would yearn and desire and want that as well. And so, Lord, thank you for the privilege of gathering this morning. We pray that your Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and our minds this morning. Do a good work in us, Lord, we pray. We need your work. We need your word. And so use it this morning for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles and you're willing, we're going to start with the book of Philippians. I know this is not generally my practice to flip around a lot, but we will do that this week and next week as we just kind of look at these, this idea of content with people. And then next week when we look at loving generously and how we can look at that. But we're going to start here in the book of Philippians, looking at verses 10 through 13. When we talk about being content with people, it begs the question, what are my expectations? What's my expectations of people? And what am I asking of others? What am I expecting people to give me? And ultimately, contentment keeps me from turning people into saviors, into judges, or into prophets. Contentment frees me to enjoy people instead of managing them. Our big idea today is contentment in Christ frees us to live patiently and graciously with imperfect people. If you missed it last week, that's the foundation. And so I encourage you can go back and you can listen to the sermon. not because I'm anything special, but because of the Word of God, the principles taken from there that helps us to see that we find our security in God. And when we find our security in God, everything can build from there. But if our security is in other people or other things, then we will continue to be frustrated and continue to go through this cycle of happiness, and then we're disappointed, and then stress, and then in agony. And so this morning we want to build off of that contentment, that security in Christ, and to say, when I'm content in Christ, that frees me to love people the way that I should. When our contentment is rooted in Christ, we can relate to people realistically, patiently, and graciously without needing them to be different for us to be okay. A lot of our relationship and relational frustrations sound like this. If they would change, if they only understood me, if they would meet my expectations... Maybe you don't use that word. Maybe you just say, if they would just do this. Or maybe if they would stop saying that. Or would they just say this or do this? We're often discontent with people. But I want to challenge us this morning that underneath that discontentment with people is a discontentment that's in our own hearts. It's probably not other people. We're quick to blame them, but we know people are imperfect. The problem is when I don't know how to deal with them, when my heart is not in the right term, in the right mood. One of the hardest places to practice contentment is not necessarily in our circumstances. We all walk through circumstances, but I want to make you think this morning, maybe you struggle with a contentment with people. We can often accept different seasons of our life more easily than we accept difficult people. Most of us can come to terms, even though sometimes it takes a while, we can come to terms with a difficult season by saying, oh, this has just been a hard year, or this is just a really busy stretch, or I'm just having a financial setback. And then we adjust, we recalibrate, and we accept it. But a difficult person, that's different. That's different because a season doesn't talk back. Circumstances don't misunderstand you. A diagnosis doesn't criticize you. And a schedule won't wound you. But people do. And what makes it harder is this. Circumstances feel impersonal, but people are personal. When the struggle has a face, when it has a voice, when it lives in your house or sits in your office or attends your church, contentment can become more difficult because now it touches our inner soul. It touches our pride, touches our expectation, our longings to be understood, our longings to be affirmed, our longings to be appreciated. We can often say, Lord, help me endure this trial, but isn't it harder to pray, Lord, help me love this person? And if we're honest, many of our relational tensions are not because somebody has wronged us, but because they are not who we wish they would be. They don't respond how we would respond. They don't grow at the pace we think they should grow. They don't meet the expectations that we quietly have formed. And slowly, little bit by little bit, discontentment with people begins to settle in to our hearts. It's usually not loud. It's not explosive. It begins usually with a quiet disappointment. And then that quiet disappointment can shape the tone. The tone of a marriage, the temperature of a friendship, or even the unity that we've sung about this morning of a church. So the question for us today is not simply, are we content in our circumstances, but are we content enough in Christ that we can live at peace with imperfect people? Because ultimately, if Christ is enough for us, we will quietly expect others to be who God made them to be. When Christ is our sufficiency, we can live at peace with imperfect people without demanding that they meet only what God can meet in our lives. It's a big intro, right? Are you ready for it? Let's dig in. Philippians chapter 4, we want to look at four anchors today for relational contentment. Four anchors for relational contentment. We start here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secrecy of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." What we see here is that ultimately contentment is learned. Contentment is learned. It's not going to be automatic. The truth is, we're not just going to stumble on contentment. As much as we hear it, and we even hear it in our circles at church, like, "I want to be content." Yes, it's just going to happen. It is not going to just happen. Relational contentment is not just going to happen to you. It's something that we even see here with Paul in his circumstances. He learned contentment. That should give us encouragement. That it's not just, oh, it's just something that's just going to happen. It's something that actually we can dive into and we can ask God for, and that God can reveal to us. We can learn it. Learning over time. Paul, as he walked through this, helps us to see, just the way he writes this, that it's something that he has learned over a period of time through relationships and through circumstances. And ultimately, we learn contentment as we walk along, when we walk along imperfect people. The great part of this is it's not tied to getting our way or who is with us or who supports us. We see even early in this passage that Paul says, "I'm glad that you're concerned for me. I knew you were concerned for me, but you didn't have an opportunity to come alongside of me. Now you have an opportunity to come alongside of me." So they weren't even with him as he was learning this idea of contentment. We have to understand that it's not, becoming content is not me getting my way. Contentment doesn't mean I have all the right people alongside of me so that it makes me feel good and so it props me up. So that I can have that contentment to fill in the gaps where I fall short and where people can pick up the pieces where I can't. No, it's not that. Contentment helps us to realize that it is in Christ. Because Christ doesn't change, whereas relationships and people do. They fluctuate. Relationships go up and down. I was thinking about my lovely bride this week and our relationship. Now, her love has probably been like this, you know, because she's awesome. But over time, when we get in disagreements, and maybe your relationship, maybe your marriage, you don't have any fights, you know, but we've had disagreements and we get upset about silly little things. Thank you, Eric. And those relationships can fluctuate. Think about some of your best friends. Those relationships ebb and flow. Even the people that are closest to us. That's why I share about Lisa and I. I desperately love her and am cherished and devoted to her. But yet those relationships fluctuate because we're imperfect people. And when we're looking to people to fulfill something that they can't, we will constantly be frustrated and we will constantly struggle. But there's a reminder here that Christ doesn't change. Think about this as an illustration. And maybe you've done this. I know I have. It's called the next season trap, where we will say, I'll be content when I have $1,000 in my checking account, right? I remember thinking, if I could only get $1,000 in this savings account, then I'll have my emergency fund and then everything will be good. And everything that the managing gurus tell me, I'll be able to experience that peace. If only I could get there, right? And once you get that, how did you feel? Oh, I feel good, but then this broke, so now I've got to use that money. And you're like, well, it's good you had it. Yes, but it doesn't fulfill. So you say, man, if I only can get to that next season. Contentment, what happens is this contentment continues to be postponed. If our relationship could only grow to this point, if he could only see this, or if I could only be able to share this, you're continuing to postpone contentment. Let me encourage you, it's not found in a better season. Contentment takes learning and it takes effort. And ultimately, contentment is found in a deeper dependence on the Lord and not people. Let me ask you these two questions there on your notes. Where am I waiting for someone else to change before I allow myself peace? Your peace shouldn't be determined by somebody else. While your life may be simpler and more at ease, that's not the way God has wired you. Your deepest longing of your soul is for the one who created you. Second question, what might God be teaching me through this person right now? I'm sure you have somebody in your life that you're learning contentment with, right? What's God trying to teach you? What's he showing you? What are you learning? Second, flip over with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 15 through 18. In the context of what Paul is writing is marks of a true Christian. He's saying this is what a true Christian is going to look like. We see what this looks like as we look at people and how we deal with people and our contentment. Let's pick it up. In verse 15, Paul writes, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, living in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the low, the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Here's our second point here. Discontentment will turn people into projects. Discontentment turns people into projects. What we see here is when we're not content, we try to fix people. It's kind of the opposite of what we see here, where we try to, okay, hey, I know you're going through a rough time. Let me cheer you up. Instead of coming alongside and saying, let me just cry with you. Hey, you're happy? Let me humble you here a minute. You're not all that. No, that's not what Paul's saying. And that's what happens is when we're not content, it can just sometimes just ooze out of us and we don't even realize what's going on, where we are trying to fix those people around us or to help them be more humble. We can even manage or I would even say manipulate outcomes. When we're discontent, we try to control people. And maybe that's not you. Maybe you're more reserved. For those of us who, if you're like me, we can be prone to trying to fix people, and then not just fix people, but fix situations, and where we're moving and working so much that we ultimately think that we can control situations and outcomes. When we're not content, we control conversations, and we want to control where the ship is going. That is not what Paul is saying here. That's not what a true mark of a Christian looks like, of how we come along and are to live with one another. Because contentment allows us to accept people without endorsing everything they do. Here's where it gets sticky, right? This is where we sometimes struggle, especially in our culture today. And let me say this again. Contentment in Christ allows me to accept people without endorsing everything they do. It does not mean that we approve. I'll say that again. It does not mean that we approve of sin. We should never be approval of sin. But when you look at somebody, you shouldn't see their sin. You should see them as God sees them. He created them in His very image. They are a person just like you are. And you, being a person, have no idea what God's total plan for their life is. You're called to love them. Not to accept their sin, but to see them for who God made them. Contentment does not mean that we approve, but that we peacefully engage. This means that we live in harmony. As Paul writes here, we live peaceably as far as it depends on you. Can you control somebody else? You should answer that in the negative. Because if you answer that in the positive, that's a telling sign that you have a problem. We can't control anybody, but you can control you. And that's what Paul is writing here. So that we are called to live in harmony as far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all. We're going to talk more about this in a minute, but let me give us an illustration here. Imagine that you are living in a home that is not yours, but you want to remodel it. And so you do all this work and you remodel it and you change things and you make it exactly how you want it. And then your owner walks in and doesn't like it and tells you it has to change. It needs fixed. Back to the way it was. What does that show you? What does that feel like? Well, it's exhausting. It's probably expensive. And when we try to remodel something that we don't own, it's usually resented. You don't own anybody else. It's not your job to remodel them. Here's a couple questions. Am I loving this person or trying to manage and change them? Where do I need to release control and trust God? That's hard. Let me just say, as a parent, that's hard. Yet, I don't own them. Flip over with me now to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. And we look at our third point here. Contentment creates space for grace. Contentment creates space for grace. We see in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Again, Paul writing to the early church in Colossae, he says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." What we see here is contentment creates space for grace. Discontentment magnifies, it brings a microscope to flaws. But we see here Paul saying compassionate hearts. Compassionate hearts comes along and gets down on somebody else's level instead of magnifying and blowing up a bigger issue. Contentment makes room for grace to flow out of it. And we see that in the wording that Paul says here, that we bear with. Bearing with somebody implies a patience with their weakness. I'm okay with weak people, but let me be honest. I'm okay with weak people to a certain point. Aren't you? Is that you? At some point, I'm like, suck it up, buttercup. I don't think that's what Paul says, is it, though? No, he says, put on. Put on instead of withdrawing. Put on instead of demanding. Again, we're controlling ourselves. We're allowing the Spirit of God, as Paul writes here, to provide the peace that I need so that I can love the way He wants me to love. When I'm secure in God, I'm less defensive. I'm more patient. And I'm quick to forgive. Let that just settle in for a moment. I'm working on this one, the first one. It's always been a challenge of mine. And this weekend, God gave me opportunities as people correct me, namely my daughter. Because Lisa says that she can say things to me that she can't say, and she gets away with it. She said something a couple times this weekend, and I just responded and said, "You're right." And you know what she said? "Dad, I'm so proud of you." You know what that shows me? I'm a man who always has my defenses up. I'm always got a reason why. Test yourself. See where you fall in this. Are you patient? How patient are you? It's always been said, be careful when you pray for patience, right? Are you quick to forgive? Man, we are so good at just forgiving the big part of it, but we'll hold on to just that little sliver. It's kind of like that music that's playing in the background when you're trying to do something, and there's times where that music is just, oh, would they turn it down? Anybody who had children play instruments in their house know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, oh. But then there's other times where it's like, wow, that sounds really good. What is it for you? Are you irritated by the small sounds? Let me encourage you that when we're at peace with God, those same sounds fade into the background and they're sweet to us. There's a contentment. When contentment comes over us, there's a change in how we see people and their shortcomings. Some of the most insecure people I know have the most struggle with other people because of their own insecurity. We as Christ followers, we don't have that luxury just to be insecure. No, we have the answers. And the answer is Jesus Christ. And when he's our security, we start to change and we learn this contentment. And as we learn it, that music that's in the background has a purpose and it has a reason. So ask yourself these couple questions here. Who am I struggling to extend grace toward? Or maybe you need to put bear with right now. Who are you struggling to extend grace to and why? Ask yourself these questions. Talk to the Lord about this. Where have expectations quietly, slowly turned into resentments? And then how might Christ be calling you to put on? To put on patience. To put on kindness. Compassionate hearts. Humility. Our fourth and final anchor that we're looking at here of contentment in our relationships is found over back where we started in Philippians chapter 4. And it's found in verse 13, where Paul writes, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If you want to take a verse that's widely taken out of context, this will be one. Paul is talking about how he has learned through the ministry and doing God's work to have much and to have little. And all along the way, God supplies exactly what he needs. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we look at this, when it comes to relationships, it reminds us that Christ is our source, not people. We are relational beings. God made us that way so that ultimately we display his glory best when we are in relationships. He wants us to have a relationship with him, but he wants us to have a relationship with others. And we see that from the very beginning when he made man and woman and made them in relation to one another as husband and wife. And he orchestrated this thing called the family. And then he brought along government. You're like, oh, here we go. Here he goes again. I'm not getting into it. I'm saying God orchestrated it. God set it up. Why? Because it's about relationships. It's about good and bad and coming alongside and helping people to ultimately, he wanted his nation Israel and why he gave them the law so that they would obey him and that they would be distinct, holy, set apart from all the other nations so that the other nations would see, man, there's something different about these people. And yet what happened over and over and over again? They continued to run to these other nations and these other gods. And yet God would forgive them and they would come running back, ask for God's forgiveness. He would forgive them and then they would run away. And then they come back and run away and run. Then we see Christ comes and he opens the door, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And he extends this gracious gift called salvation through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And he orchestrates and he puts together this organism called the church. And what is the church all about? Relationships. It's not that we can avoid relationships or that we should avoid them. No, we need to enjoy them, but we need to see them for what they are. They are not our source of hope, of strength, of being. Only Christ can be that. And when someone else is that, you will start to see cracks. You will start to see cracks in your faith. You will start to see cracks in how God desires for you to live. Relationships should help encourage us to push us closer to Jesus. When we look that Christ is our source and not people, we can see that we can endure. We endure relationships through God's strength. We walk through relationships knowing that God is there helping us. And that it's His strength at times that carries us. It's not about our accomplishment. Again, going back to the project, people are those projects. We've got to fix them and get them right and get them to Jesus and then everything will be good. I know you all that well. That even though you came to Jesus Christ and you claim Him as Savior, not everything is perfect and holy and right in your life, right? This is where you should all say amen. And yet we keep stirring one another in our faith, coming back to Christ. And Christ is that source to help us to endure. Because it's not about accomplishments. It's not even about persevering in a relationship. It's not about trying harder, but it's depending deeper in Christ, deeper on God. When we look to Jesus as our source, ultimately He enables us to stay loving even when others are difficult. I'm sure you probably don't have difficult people in your life, so maybe you just skip over this point, right? That was a joke. All right, a few of you are laughing. Thank you for you four that are paying attention at this point. Jesus enables us to stay loving. Again, it's not our own strength. That's why we need to be in the Word. That's why we need to be studying it. That's why we need to be praying and seeking the Lord. That's why we need to be around people who are going to encourage us in our faith. But even those people who are difficult, that they would be seen as people who help us depend on Jesus. When Jesus is our source, we stay faithful even when others are inconsistent. Remember, we talked about fluctuating relationships. We stay peaceful even as people are draining. Think about this as tools we carry around all the time. This is going to run dead if I leave it unplugged for a period of time. It's going to run dead by tonight, right? And so I have to plug it back in. It needs an external power source. Devices die when they rely solely on those internal batteries. They have to be plugged in into an external power source. Christ is our external power source. The Spirit of the living God that gets to reside in you and me is that power source that fuels us. It sustains us. When relationships are draining and hard and difficult and we come to our wit's end, it's the Spirit of the living God that we rely upon. That's the external power source. Are you trying to love others in your own strength, in your own power? Where do you need to draw again, pull in from Christ's strength, from His Word, the truths of His Word? Loving people where they are, not as they should be. Yes, we want people to get to certain places because we want what's best for them. But aren't you thankful that Jesus met you where you were? Contentment with people does not mean settling for sin or staying silent. Jesus didn't do that. We don't ignore sin. We don't avoid hard conversations. Or we don't even pretend that relationships don't matter. That's not love. We're not trying to change people for me or for you. It's not about people filling me up because I need it and I demand it. Contentment in people means I no longer look to people to give me what only Jesus Christ can give me. When Christ is our sufficiency, we are free to love people, patiently and faithfully without needing them to be our source. Would you pray with me? Lord, teach us to be content in you so that we can be content with people. Help us to find our security in you, our source of hope and strength and truth, so that as we live with people, we can be content with them. Because we learn that you ultimately are who strengthens us. You are the one who allows us to function and to think and to do the very things that we need to do. Help us to rely on you, to look to you. Help us to be content with people, with the people that you place in our lives. As you sit here and as you've listened this morning, what's the Spirit of God been telling you this morning? How has he been working in you? Is there somebody that he brought to your mind and your heart? Is there something in your own life that you need to repent and turn from? Is there a reliance upon yourself? A desire to rely on others to fulfill something that they can't fulfill? Maybe today you've realized that you're not so content in your relationships. Let me encourage you, Jesus is there. And he's like, unlike any other relationship that you can have. So if you need to confess, would you confess? If you need to repent, repent. If you need to cling to, that you would cry out and ask for help. Lord, our lives are filled with relationships. We love them, and at the same time, they are one of the biggest challenges of our lives. So as we learn to be content with people, help us to see the great joy that comes out of that. That we can see people as you desire for us to see them, as fellow men and women, children, teens, your creation, created in your image, with a soul and a spirit that will live eternally in a real place called heaven or a real place called hell. Help us to love the way you love. Spur us on, Lord Jesus. May we be obedient to your Spirit as you lead us. We would be quick to obey. And Lord, we would just see the fruit of what it looks like to be secure in you and content with people. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us the joy of fellowshipping and being here today. As we walk out through these doors, Lord, may the word that we've just heard truly impact our lives. May we not just be hearers of the word, but doers of it. May our faith truly be seen in how we look at people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each one that's here. Bless them and encourage them in their walk with you this week. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.